compliance with federal consent decrees. And he filed a lawsuit, which is still pending, and meaning the Turner. And Turner argued for the first time on appeal that the superintendent never signed the charges against him, but rather only stamped them. So in other words, there's something in the law that said it has to be signed, but he did not bring that up below. He just brought it up the first time on appeal. And the problem is, you mean, from this situation at least, you need to make allegations at the trial level. You can't just bring up new things at appeal. But in any event, Turner asserted that the charges were not authorized until about 4 months later when they were sworn and authorized for service. Therefore, he claimed, and this was important in this case because he claimed that the New Jersey State Police exceeded the 45-day rule. So the appellate division reversed and remanded for an evidentiary hearing to determine whether the disciplinary charges were filed, when they were filed, and whether the state police complied with the statute. And then they determined that if it did, the administrative law judge would consider the charges on the merits. And if the administrative law judge sustained any of the charges, then authority to render the final agency decision would be referred to the Office of Attorney General. So the reason that this, well, there are a number of reasons this is important, but what happens after there's an administrative law judge makes a decision, the department in the state can basically overrule it. And in this case, the court said, no, it's not going to go back to the New Jersey Division of State Police if, in fact, the law judge sustained any of the charges. Then the authority to render the final agency decision would not be made by the state police, but rather would be referred to the Office of Attorney General. Very, very important from a legal standpoint, and someone, meaning this young law student, certainly has learned a lot, especially if he participated in any of the work on the appeal. Well, that's it, kind of the end of the program. We'll be back with the sports guys after we hear some news and weather. So I look forward to, we're not going to be here. The chambers closed next week for Veterans Day. So unless I come in with a special program, we won't have our program next week, but we'll be back the week after that. So let me play a few spots and the news, and we'll be back shortly with the sports guys. And we're going to have a great sports program because we're certainly going to talk about my Cubs. So back soon.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Believe me, we're going to fight terrorism. We're going to get rid of ISIS. We're going to get rid of them fast.
The war on terror, a topic for Donald Trump on the campaign trail today as he slams Hillary Clinton for failure as a Secretary of State, saying her actions led to world instability that led to the rise of ISIS. And speaking of the war on terror, there's chatter among intelligence groups that Al-Qaeda is planning an attack on Monday. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio wouldn't comment specifically, but said he's been informed of the reports.
This is something that I was briefed on several days ago. That is, at this moment, we're still developing information on. The level of credibility is not clear. It is definitely not an overly specific threat.
De Blasio went on to say the NYPD was already on heightened alert because of this Sunday's New York City Marathon. USA Radio News.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID Lion, at 1-800-941-6844 and sign up now for free. That's right, free. USA Radio Networks and ID Lion want everyone to have identity theft coverage. If you sign up now, we will give you a $50 gift card. Identity theft destroys credit and causes horrible issues for those that are hacked. Don't be a victim. Take advantage of this incredible free offer and sign up now. Call 1-800-941-6844. One out of every four Americans are going to have their identity stolen. Don't let it be you. It'll ruin your good credit score. Get protected and get your free $50 gift card. Call right now, 1-800-941-6844.
The new jobs report out from the Labor Department showing growth, but not as much as many economists expected. Here's Chris Barnes.
The Labor Department saying the U.S. economy added 161,000 jobs last month, which isn't too shabby, though most economists were predicting it would have added about 17,000 more, closer to 178,000. The White House still says it's very pleased at the news. It notes the unemployment rate last month also fell to 4.9%.
Senator Michael Bublé is putting his career on hold as his young son battles cancer. Bublé and his wife posted the news on Facebook, saying they are devastated by the diagnosis of three-year-old Noah. Along with suspending their careers to focus on treatment for Noah, the couple asked for prayers and privacy. NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers honored at the White House next week. President Obama says he will host the team on Thursday, 2 days after the presidential election. Obama extended the invitation in June after the Cavs won the NBA title. USA Radio News.
It started at Bunko Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
The family of a man who pointed a vaping device at police officers as if it was a gun is suing the city. Here's the story.
The lawsuit has been filed by Alfred Alongo's widow and his two daughters. The family is calling for an independent investigation of the shooting and for the officer who fired the shots to be let go from the department. Alongo's widow filed the claim against the city of El Cajon on Thursday. Police say Alongo wasn't listening to their commands, pulled out a vaping device, and then pointed it at them before he was shot. The family claims Alongo had mental health issues. Jason Campadonia, San Diego.
With the presidential election heading into the final week, much to the delight of people sick of politics, surrogates for each of the candidates are ramping up their public appearances. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
We got work to do to finish what we started 8 years ago.
President Obama campaigning for Clinton in Florida there, while Bernie Sanders appears with Clinton at one of her campaign stops. And for Donald Trump, his wife Melania says in Pennsylvania of him,
he certainly knows how to shake things up.
While Trump's former nemesis, Republican Senator Ted Cruz, was traveling yesterday with Mike Pence.
And I'm doing everything I can to defeat Hillary Clinton.
I'm Chris Barnes.
A man who once took showers as a boy with convicted child molester Jerry Sandusky is testifying today in that former coach's bid for a new trial. He's being called victim number two. He's expected to say the football coach never molested him. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Well, hi. We'll follow with the sports guys in just a few minutes. Wanted to bring you up to date on the weather. Today, beautiful, sunny. Expect more of the same tomorrow. In fact, at least perhaps even a couple degrees warmer. Tonight clear, tomorrow night partly cloudy. Tonight could get down to freezing. Tomorrow night should only be around 40. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny. Again, highs about 57 degrees and mostly clear on Sunday night, down to about 34 degrees. And again, Monday will be warm and sunny. So we really are looking forward to some great weekends. And this is the time that this is the week that the time changes. So we actually get an extra hour on Sunday. Just make sure that you don't get to work an hour early on Monday. Nobody be too happy. Well, your boss might be happy, but you're not going to be too happy. And so that's the weather. And we'll be back with the sports guys as soon as I at least play one spot, because most of us who are sitting around watching all the sports may be gaining a little weight. So although I hate this commercial, I'm going to play it.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey guys, sports time. Bill, what do you have to say about my Cubs?
Well, congratulations to those Cubs. They finally beat the curse of the Billy Goat, and I've heard all kinds of jokes, none of which are polite enough to say here on Family Haunted and Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio, so I'll just forego that. Meanwhile, they've broken the Billy Goat curse. They finally won a world championship after 108 years, and congratulations to Theo Epstein, who also helped break the curse of Babe Ruth to the for the Boston Red Sox. So Theo Epstein seems to be the guy with the magic touch. And speaking of magic touch, my Philadelphia Flyers have won 3 games, including an overtime shootout against the Islanders last night with a tremendous deke and goal by my favorite, Claude Giroux. So Flyers are playing well. The Green Bay Packers had a tough one last weekend, as did the Eagles.
Hey, come on. You can't skip over the Cubs that quickly.
Well, I'm getting there.
No.
I'm getting there. You know what was very, very exciting? I watched every pitch, and I have to tell you.
In Game 7 or every pitch in the whole series?
In Game 7. I'm a big Game 7 fan. I don't care who's playing. But I was very surprised that Cleveland got to Aroldis Chapman as much as they did.
Oh, I'm not. Do you know how many he had pitched too much? In fact, I really think that they took out, and I always mispronounce his name, is it Herricks? I really thought that if you watched, remember when he was up and he threw a strike that was called a ball. Remember that? It absolutely was a strike. You don't remember it. I do. But he threw the ball. It was not a ball. It was called a ball. It was a strike. And as a result, batter, and I don't recall who it was, walked. And right after that, he was taken out of the game. And I thought it was a mistake. I thought they could have played him. It wasn't his fault. I mean, he was not a walk. It was absolutely not a walk. They showed it afterwards. Everybody that looked at it said it was a strike. But I felt at that point, I was worried because I thought they took him out too early. And Chapman had been worked very hard, great, but was he going to be able to come in with, his fastballs? And at one point he came in and he was doing mostly what I call sliders. I don't know what you call them.
I call them sliders, or he's got a little bit of a curve, but the curve wouldn't break. I noticed that Cleveland was starting to get his number, and even though, yeah, a lot of these pitches were 100 miles an hour, a couple were 101, one I think even broke 102. Guy's amazing. But I noticed that Cleveland was able to hit a lot of line drives, and I also noticed that Cleveland second baseman Kipnis managed to make good contact on the ball. The one time he did face him in Game 7 and also in Game 6. Now, the irony is Kipnis, who is from Chicago and plays second for Cleveland,
was a huge Cub fan as a
growing
kid.
Growing up, he said his fantasy was always to hit a home run in a World Series in Wrigley Field, and he did, but for his team, the Cleveland Indians. So talk about that one. Meanwhile, the Indians did have a great season. Each of these teams managed to catch lightning in the bottle, I think, and have a great year. But, you know, it's wait till next year now for Cleveland, and Chicago had a heck of a parade, I hear.
Oh, today I watched part of it. But they had, not only did they have a parade, but then they had the championship rally. The parade went from Wrigley. My understanding, the parade went all the way from the north side, Wrigley Field, to Grant Park on the south side. But there were, it was really fun to watch. I watched most of the rally, where, of course, Ben Zobrist was the Chicago MVP. And I think he deserved it, didn't you? I mean, he got the go-ahead runner, in the 10th inning of the seventh game. And part of the problem is on the seventh game, I was on trial this week, so I missed the first hit. So you saw that first home run.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I missed the when I turned it on, which I thought was very early, the Cubs were ahead 3-0. And then at some point
Cleveland
during the middle
ahead.
Some point during the middle of it, I fell asleep watching it, and Dave woke me up, and it was tied, and I couldn't believe it. And then, no, it wasn't tied, but then it was tied and went over into overtime, and I just couldn't believe that, that the Cubs were going to lose it at that point. And, of course, I think they were running out of pitchers. Well, I know they were.
Well, they were going to have to start. If the game kept going into the 11th or 12th inning, they were going to have to use position players to pitch.
And that's what everybody was concerned about. Well, Cub fans were concerned about because the Cleveland had more. They still had pitchers out there. But remember, I'm wondering, and look, I don't follow baseball any longer the way, I follow football. But one of the things that seems to me that when two teams play each other consistently for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, the hitters have to start getting a real understanding of these various pitchers. Because the Cleveland pitcher, who was so phenomenal in, was it Game 5? Was it Miller?
Yep.
So he was just, nobody could hit against this guy. And, when he came in Game 7, same thing. They were able to hit against him. So I think what happens is, after a while, the pitchers, the hitters, they really figure out what the pitchers are going to do. Also interesting, some people have said when the Cubs are hot, they're hot. And when they're cold, they're cold. And if you looked at these games, that really was borne out in these games.
Well, that's so. I'm always surprised that, like other sports, teams are streaky. For some reason, you don't seem to get a lot of consistency where a team is good all season, except for the Cubs this year. The Cubs, I think, ran away with it. They, from opening day in April, the Cubs would have been in first place, I think, except for maybe a day or so.
Well, when did Ben Zobrist, was he there all year?
Yeah, Zobrist was there all year. The Cubs made some good trades at the trading deadline. I think the best was getting a role to Chapman from the Yankees.
Chapman was great. Zobrist was great.
The Yankees are looking, there's talk now today in the New York Post that the Yankees are now talking about getting him back because essentially the Cubs were renting him.
Now, well, how could that be?
Well, remember, they traded him, the Yankees traded him for a couple of draft picks and a couple of minor leaguers because the Yankees want to beef up their minor league system a little more, and they're trying to cut their payroll because they're still paying a heavy luxury tax. So you have the problem of they traded him because his contract is up, and if the Cubs want to keep Aroldis Chapman, they've got to sign him again to another contract. On the other hand, he's now a free agent. He can go make a deal wherever he wants, whoever wants to have him pitch, and I think they'd be very smart to because the guy's a great closer. Anybody who can throw a ball 100 miles an hour consistently with that kind of accuracy is somebody you're going to want in the late innings.
Well, not only that, what we found from the seventh game is even when he's been overworked, he can hold it together. I mean, that was the thing. I thought he was going to really fall apart because I thought they brought him in too early. And, you know, I really did think they brought him in too early. And when you think about the number of pitches, and, of course, that's the funny thing for people like me. I grew up as a kid watching baseball. Well, you know, pitcher would go in, and they would pitch the entire game unless they were really screwing up, and then they'd bring someone else in. So this, you know, the beginning guy, the middle guy, the this, the that, baseball is so different today than it was.
Oh, sure, because remember, you had guys out in the Midwest, like one of my favorite Milwaukee Brave pitchers, Warren Spahn.
Warren Spahn was terrific to watch.
And he would pitch a full nine innings, and then he would come in relief at the other end of the doubleheader on Sunday.
Yep.
And Spahn, who I think was a left-hander, had the ability to not throw his arm out. And he was fast. He would consistently break 90 miles an hour with his fastball. He had a tremendous command of a curve and what he called a sinker, which was really a fastball that kind of died about 3 feet before it got to the plate and dropped.
Right.
And it would drop left to his left. So it would come into a left-hand batter and actually be on the guy's hands, or it would be almost out of the strike zone for a right-handed batter who had already decided to swing. So remember, you're making a decision to swing within about 1/2000th of a second after the ball leaves the pitcher's hand. That's what they...
Really? It's that quick?
Yeah. That's what scientists who have wired up batters and measured this say is the amount of time that the brain has to make the decision before it sends the signal to the arms.
So what's the difference between, because we saw a lot of long, really hard hit foul balls. So I wonder, what's the difference between that ball going, let's say, in the right field or, you know, going just foul right?
Down a right field line.
Yeah.
The difference has got to be about 1/1000th of a second. Remember that it's not just eye-hand coordination. It's also bat speed.
Right.
And if you look at bat speed, which is not hard to measure, you know, now that we have all kinds of wonderful devices that do that, and they will literally put sensors or RTF devices, just like you have in your cell phone or perhaps to find your lost keys. They're similar devices, and what happens is that they will measure how quickly you can swing a bat, and they will also measure the speed of the ball, and from that they can calculate bat speed and actually have metrics to compare. So When a guy like Joe Girardi, who's manager of the Yankees, uses his notebook, he always seems to be carrying around his figures on a computer or a notepad, he is looking for the right kind of matchup against the right kind of pitcher. And if he thinks he needs a ball hit down the, a fly ball hit down the right field line because he's got a fast guy on second who could score on the right fielder's arm, he's going to look for a guy who's a pull hit, left-handed pull hitter to put that ball down the right field line. He, so even if it's a fly ball and it's deep enough, someone can score from second.
If there's only you know, one out.
Right. So what you see is you're seeing more and more that baseball is focusing on metrics, and it's a good sport for statistics because plays start and stop. Just like in football, plays start and stop, whereas in hockey,
it goes forever.
It just keeps going, and the metrics are a little bit harder to figure out. Plus, it's more of a, you know, baseball is, there's a finite period of time while the ball is in motion and while the action is going on and the play starts and stops, just like in football.
Yeah, but it seems to move a little faster. One of the things, and maybe it's just because I've been watching more this year, but it seems that, you know, in the old days, you really heard a lot about the players, you know, where they were from, you know, what, I don't know. It seemed like we knew them. Maybe it's just that I followed baseball a lot more. But one of the things that I liked this time around were the stories. I mean, the fact that Ben Zobrist grew up in southern Illinois, you know, and I love the story about David Ross. I mean, yeah. He was in that game, and you tell me why, because he was in the game only because of a pitcher. He's a backup catcher. He, you know, he's 39 years old. It was going to be his last game no matter what happened. And then he, you know, stepped up and, you know, won the game for them.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about baseball. You never know. It's why they play the game, and that's where we write about it, talk about it, watch it, go see it, play it, love it. Baseball to me is also the advantage, and people joke about this. It's slow. It's something to be savored. I don't mind that a baseball game takes two to two and a half hours. What other sport can you watch on television? Get up, make yourself a sandwich, and come back and not miss anything. I like baseball because it's a sport that anybody can play, but few can play well. And it's a sport that is more focused on overcoming failure because when you think about it, you get a hit one out of three times. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I was going to say that's a great player. The other thing about baseball, at least from a kid's standpoint, is, you know, to play football generally, and I know I'm, you know, this is a generalization, but usually you have to be a big kid to play football.
But
you still have to usually have some height, and yes, you have to be very fast. But in baseball, you know, that's certainly not the case. And, in fact, it's interesting at how many, especially Dominicans, are on the teams. And I know I've told you the reason before, right? That the reason that that the Dominican kids started playing baseball is that one of our armed forces were down in the Dominican Republic, and they played baseball, and the kids started getting interested in baseball, and now, of course, it's just an industry down in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, they make baseball manufacture baseball players like they manufacture cigars.
And I mean, to some extent, in other places like Cuba, but for example, in Guatemala, there was no baseball.
Guatemalans usually play soccer, don't they?
Right. But, I mean, the difference between where American soldiers have been stationed for any length of time, it's like Japan. Baseball is really popular in Japan. Dominican Republic was the same way. And
well, we play baseball in Taiwan. We play it in Korea. We play it in Australia.
Sure.
Australia has their own baseball league and has had some of their players crack the majors here. But, you know, Australia, because the seasons are reversed, their summer is in January.
Right.
You're getting into spring now. You can't really call it winter baseball unless you're up here looking down there. That's their summer. But what's really funny is when you take people who are European and who are soccer fans or maybe they're rugby fans or basketball fans to a place like Yankee Stadium, which is a true cathedral of the game, and they find the game incomprehensible or they find it boring.
Boring.
And
kids find it boring. But you know what? You take your Yankee Stadium, I'll take Wrigley Field anytime. And, of course, if you watch the games at Wrigley, you'll see, you know, North Side, all of the people that basically have, you know, chairs or bleachers on the top of their roofs.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can look over and see the people at Wrigley.
Cool.
Oh, I think it's really, really fun.
I have always had a passion for going to sporting events, especially in foreign countries or in small towns. And I can think of going to minor league games in small towns in Pennsylvania, you know, when I was in college, just because, you know, your friend happens to live there and they may have a double A team, like out in Reading, where they have a pretty good team these days, the Reading Phillies. Or if you went down to the Delmarva Peninsula, Delaware, the Eastern League, in Cambridge, Maryland, which is really Frank Perdue country. I mean, everybody seems to either work for the Perdues or for one of the other chicken processing companies, or they have a service-related job. They have a beautiful ballpark and a beautiful museum called the Eastern Shore Baseball Museum. It talked about how every little town and every little factory had a ball team.
Well, in the Midwest, we didn't have minor league, and, of course, until the Braves came. So when I was a kid, the Braves came to Milwaukee. So it was interesting because the older kids were all Cub fans. And then, of course, when the Braves came...
Oh, in 56?
They paid 56 or 57. I think it could have been 56. I know they played 57. Yeah, I think it was 56.
They won a World Series in 57.
Yeah, they did. So I guess they were there at least a year, maybe 2 years before. But so as a little kid, all of a sudden we had our own ball team. But all of the older kids who had been Chicago Cub fans, because remember, Wisconsin, the Chicago Cubs, that was the, you know, unless you're a White Sox, and nobody was a White Sox fan, I don't know why, but everybody were Cub fans. It was very interesting for those few years that the Braves were there. But then, of course, once the Braves left, we all became Cub fans again, or you know, if we had not been Cubs fans, we all became or started to become Cubs fans because, you know, nobody was going to follow the Braves when they went to Atlanta. I mean, that was like, you know, that was the worst thing that ever happened.
That was to be like heresy.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was just, you know, how can they leave? How can they do that? And
traitors.
That's one of the reasons why, you know, people in Wisconsin love the fact that the Packers are owned by the city, because even when they were in terrible financial shape, at least they knew that, you know, they were going to stay, they were either going to fold or they were going to stay there and find a way to survive.
You wouldn't find the Packers moving out of Wisconsin to Las Vegas, obviously.
Well, you can't because there's no owner.
Right.
So they're never going to be sold.
As I understand it, it's not that the Packers are owned by the city. The Packers are owned by hundreds and hundreds of people. Isn't that right?
Well, that in some ways... No, but in some ways it's a fallacy. Yes, you can be a stockholder, but you really don't own anything. If every one of the stockholders said, we want the Packers to move, they have no rights to do anything.
They have no voting rights.
They have no voting rights. If, in fact, the Packers, and I don't remember what charities, but my recollection is if the Packers are ever sold, the money goes to charities in the Green Bay area. so that there's no way that they would ever be sold.
Well, that's interesting because what it means is that the team continuously gets to reinvest in itself.
Right.
You're not paying dividends. You don't have somebody like a Jerry Jones siphoning off revenue through a luxury box or things like that. What you do have, though, is a tremendous amount of civic loyalty, which is why I always say Green Bay is like a unique franchise.
Oh, it is. It's always been.
Some people have compared them to some of the Canadian Football League franchises that, although they're not city-owned, they may be owned by literally the largest brewery in town, or they may be owned by a group of business people who are so have been committed to the city for five or six generations that nothing's going to change. And that's both good and bad because on one hand, they get a little stodgy and set in their ways, and it's hard for them to keep up. But on the other hand, what happens is the teams don't move around like you see in the U.S.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know,
we better get
the money button and say some nice things about our sponsors, shouldn't we?
We'll talk. We'll have our sponsors talk for a few minutes, and then we'll be back talking more football. And hopefully we're going to have some good matchups this weekend. And maybe I know John is going to be away next week, so he had planned on being here. But you know John, he's always got that last-minute crisis. So we'll talk, have our sponsors give us a break, and hopefully John will show up at least before the end of the game. Before the end of the game, before the end of the show.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambie's. Purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back, the sports guys, and as we predicted, John Manfreda has joined us, and of course we've been talking about my Cubs.
Good afternoon,
and what
Pat
they did.
And Bill. And
good afternoon, John.
I have one thing to ask you, Pat, right off the bat. You know, when it, what day is the world going to end? I mean, since you can predict anything, I mean, you make a bet on anything. Whatever you bet on, I'm going for it.
Well, usually put it this way. If I ever invest in anything, run the other way, I'm telling you. But this time what they're talking about is John was in Las Vegas, and you tell everybody what you did.
Well, I always place futures bets because they're fun, and you also get very good odds. A futures bet is one where the event's going to happen significantly in the future, like the game is not that day. In this case, I was there in July and made World Series bets. Now, my World Series bet, I had actually – and by the way, I had completely forgotten about this, Pat, until I went back in my office and checked. I forgot I had a bet on the Cleveland Indians. I was up three games to one, and I didn't even realize I had the betting slip. So the stupid Indians lose, and I lose $500 because I had put money on the Indians. And but the bottom line is Pat not only picked the Cubs to win the NL pennant, but she said, I'd pick them for the World Series too, which I thought at the time was not a good bet. But they did have the best record. They were having a great year, built for the playoffs. And it was a very intelligent pick, Pat, certainly more intelligent than mine because
yeah, but it was emotional. It's just because I'm a Cubs fan.
Yeah, sure.
And I bet against your own team, right?
Yeah, well, I've never bet again. But I did it, and I'm hoping I get the trifecta.
Yeah, the trifecta. I also put a bet on the Green Bay Packers.
For the Super Bowl.
You and I both know that's not going to happen. Either your team or my team's going to beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Well, if anybody beats them, it's going to be the Eagles.
Well, I don't usually bet, but I was glad I gave John that money. I don't even know how much. I didn't win that much, I don't think, because I really don't think that it was that much that I'm going to win. But whatever it is, it is. So anyway, guys.
She wants more business.
So so that's what we have to talk about. I was glad that at least. You know, that was exciting. The Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, I mean, the Packers were, You know, what a disaster. And especially
yeah, but the Falcons, look at what they're doing. I mean, they're throwing points out. Matt Ryan has been a very good quarterback for a number of years, but he didn't always have all the weapons around him. And a couple of those playoff losses, maybe some bad decisions. He seems to have hit a new level. He reminds me of where Aaron Rodgers was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, except that if you saw – you didn't see the game on Sunday.
No, I didn't see
well,
it.
Well, Aaron Rodgers was back to – you couldn't fault Aaron at all. I mean –
No,
great.
I'm not talking about Rodgers. I agree with you. I think Rodgers is having a fine year. I'm
but
saying
they were
Matt
both.
Ryan reminds me of where right. Rodgers was 2 or 3 years
oh,
ago.
He absolutely. They were both superb. And, of course, you know, Montgomery was out. Shields was out. Matthews was out. I mean, you know, I was surprised, actually, how well some of these guys from the practice team or the rookies played on behalf of the Packers. And that game could have gone either way. I mean, it really could
have. Yeah, it's a strange beginning to the football season. You have the Dallas Cowboys who, when Tony Romo went down, you figured they're going to go 2-14, and they're 6-1 playing Cleveland. You may as well say they're 7-1, you know, atop the division. You've got some traditional rivals. Who the Vikings were 5-0, and they seem to be tanking because their offensive line just can't stop
well,
my grandmother.
I didn't see the game because I was preparing for trial. I would have watched that game.
When the Packers took the Vikings, what was that?
No,
week
no, no,
two
no.
Or week three?
No, no.
The Vikings crushed them.
The Vikings crushed, and now the Bears, and the Bears won against the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, the Vikings have offensive line problems that if they didn't fix it, the trade deadline, I don't get it. I mean, they're very lucky. They lost their quarterback and their running back, and they plugged holes. They got Bradford, and they're 5-0, and they didn't at least get one more offensive lineman to plug that hole. They have a team that's the potential NFC champion, Super Bowl contender, and they didn't plug their offensive line. There must have been something going on because the Giants, the Eagles, and the Vikings all desperately need another good offensive lineman, and none of them got it. And I think what happened is in the NFL is one of the problems.
Who's out there?
They get held up. Well, no. You go to a team and say, look, we want that guy. The problem is these guys are so coveted on the offensive line that they would want 2 first-round draft picks or some reasonably high price because none of them made a move.
You're right.
And the Eagles, not only did they just get rid of Huff, John Huff.
Oh, did they actually cut him, Bill?
They cut him because apparently he got busted on the
Well, no, we know what happened, but they initially hadn't cut him.
They released him.
Okay, I was not aware of that. That's breaking news, folks, from Bill Wolfson.
After 72 hours, the Eagles decided they would cut him and wished him well, but he's no longer an Eagle.
Well, either, Bill, that's indicative of a very pensive management or they just can't make a decision. And why would you take 72 hours to think about busting a guy who got caught in the Walt Whitman Bridge DUI with a gun and hollow point bullets?
Well, it was actually the Ben Franklin Bridge.
They kept saying the Walt Whitman Bridge.
Hey, come on. This is Philadelphia. What's wrong with that?
I was going to say, that's standard operating procedure, is it not?
Well, you know, the thing that I don't get is you've got to be you think that linemen are smart people, but you can't be smart if you're smoking marijuana.
Isn't Huff a receiver?
Pardon?
I thought Huff was a receiver, Bill.
No, he's not a receiver. He also is a kick returner, and he was the one who returned that touchdown against the Vikings at the opening kickoff last week. And that was
2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I think he's a wide receiver returner. I don't think he's a lineman.
I thought he was a lineman. But, be that as it may, he's no longer an Eagle, and maybe he'll go play for somebody else and resolve his criminal justice problems in an appropriate
way. Now, he'll be recycled. I'm sure he won't play this year because nobody will touch that. But he'll get recycled, straightened out, and he'll be somewhere.
You
have to hope the young man straightens up. But, Bill, to your point, I listened to a caller on another a competitor station of ours, and the guy pointed out, he says, if you're a professional football player, you've got you're fulfilling your lifelong dream, you're making millions of dollars, why would you go do something stupid like speed to get the cops' attention and have them find out you've got marijuana and hollow point bullets and an illegal weapon that you only have a license for in Texas.
In Pennsylvania.
Now, his license was out of Texas, but why would you – yeah, exactly. Why would you do that in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean – or in New Jersey. I mean, Pennsylvania is much –
well, anywhere out of outside Texas.
Pennsylvania is much easier on pistols than New Jersey is. In New Jersey, it's very tough.
Well, so you arrested in New Jersey or Pennsylvania?
In New Jersey.
Right.
On the bridge.
On the bridge.
And so
– well, but the bridge is partly in Pennsylvania and partly in New Jersey.
That's right, but he was –
on the New Jersey side.
Jersey side. So he was.
And there's a good conflict of interest argument, Bill. You could say his car was traveling and he actually was still in the Pennsylvania side. I'm sure you could make an argument.
Well, maybe that all the air in the car was in Pennsylvania.
Was Pennsylvania air?
Yeah.
Well, what about a choice of law since the gun is
a
Texas
a
gun?
Of law question. But, you know, in. There's got to be some kind of.
I think the CITES rule takes place precedence there. Mm-hmm.
There's either a treaty or an agreement when it comes to the Delaware
Port Authority. Yes, there is.
Delaware River Port Authority of, as to how.
And don't they
do
have their
things.
Own commission? Isn't they? Don't they have that?
They even
same,
have their own cops.
Yeah, that same. I mean, the Port Authority in New York and New Jersey.
Right.
Doesn't this go back to the fact that so many of these guys have been pampered and babied, and they just have a sense of entitlement.
And they come from a background that is sometimes underprivileged, or at least they haven't gotten the best advice.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Many of them come from very
disadvantaged backgrounds without good advice, and then, yes, to your point, have a sense of entitlement. Bill, this guy, Huff, was not a star on the Eagles, though.
No, he was really a third stringer. They played him returning kicks because he was very quick. And occasionally,
he'd break
in practices,
one.
He would break one.
But and he did against the Vikings. Yeah.
Did he also – was he arrested for – pot also?
Yeah.
But was he high?
Oh, he was smoking. Now, whether he was high or not, I don't know.
Well, but I mean,
police report, according to the newspaper, said that as soon as the officer pulled him over, he smelled marijuana smoke coming out of the car.
Also,
the guy was obviously driving and not smoking a Marlboro.
Yeah. Well, also remember that in the old days, these guys would be driven home. You know, we all know the judges, the lawyers.
In the days of Mickey Mantle.
Yes.
Somebody would put him in the back seat of a cab and send him home.
Right.
And say, let's get this guy out of here.
And they
show up at the ballpark tomorrow.
Right.
Nobody knows better.
Exactly. But, you know, times have changed.
Absolutely, they've changed.
The news cycle is driven by, quite frankly, sensationalism. It's more entertainment than it is news. And, frankly, it's a tragedy.
Bill, are you referring to national politics here now?
I would not go there. I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole.
By the way, didn't you think it was really weird how there's all of these allegations against Donald Trump, and now some woman comes out of the background about Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice. Now, I remember the Anita Hill hearings.
I thought
Anita Hill was completely credible.
Everybody said.
And she was very clear, classy lady. Look, I'm not here to complain about it. I'm here to object to his appointment to the highest court because of what he did. Not to get any justice or money for myself, but just to point out this is what this lowlife did.
Okay? Well, and
now, why would this woman come out now, 20 years later, and complain about Clarence Thomas? Could it have something to do with this whole – all these women coming out of the woodwork against the Donald?
No, I think there was some
– What triggered that?
There was something that triggered it. I don't know what it was. But I do think – I really do think that women who hid these things one of the things about Anita Hill is she jeopardized her whole career.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yes, she did. Now, yes, she did because she wasn't going to not say something.
Most women
back
at that time just, buttoned it up and didn't say anything. And, because even if they wouldn't have been believed.
It's a lose-lose.
It is absolutely a lose-lose. I mean, they're started to change a little bit because we know.
Unfortunately, now I think the pendulum has swung too much the other way, perhaps. But be that as it may, I understand your point.
Well, but in some sense, I have to say, I don't think it's swung the other way. It's just that if these are more recent.
Well,
I
to mean, the point is, Pat, and I'll just cite something from your practice. Not that our listeners want a law show today, but to your practice, my understanding is if a call was made, DV call, police show up, and the wife says, he hit me or threatened me, they pull that guy right out of there, right?
No doubt.
Only – wait. If it – irrespective of what person, if they see somebody has bruises. In other words –
Oh,
wait.
Do they actually have to see bruises? They've got to see physical evidence? Just threat? I thought the mere threat – he threatened me. He came after me or he threw a pillow at me. So I don't have a bruise, but he threw a pillow at me.
No, they don't – if they – it's up to the police officers and no – they can often suggest
we that suggest somebody that you leave the premises, sir.
But they don't have to, and then they say to the alleged victim, "You go and you if you want to, you go and you file the complaint."
Okay.
And so no, in fact, I had a case where when the guy showed up, I mean, my client did have some bruises, but when he showed up, I swear he must have gone out and punched himself in the face, because then he came to court saying, oh no, I was the one who was the victim. And of course, the police would have arrested the woman if that had been the case. So, no, they did, but they will definitely, if there is any kind of, you know, and sometimes, for example, somebody's pulled a phone out of the wall or, but if
some manifestation of violence.
Yes, yeah, they have to make a decision.
Well, to that point, you've also got this tarnished image on the Giants now with Josh Brown. Was a guy who claimed he never hit his wife, and there's a ton of evidence that indicates he did, and this was pervasive, continuing, ongoing. Obviously, they had a bombastic relationship, but the Giants and John Mara are taking a big hit on it because they are very big with pink and with women's rights and down against violence, but yet when it came to their own punter or their own field goal kicker, they suspended him a game and they brought him back. And they're taking a big hit on that.
But well, you know, but something, I really have to question the sincerity of just about any NFL owner and the entire league. Well, they hid the concussion business for years and years, and it finally just came out after Junior So died. They hid a lot of the performance-enhancing drug problems. They were loading a lot of these people up, these players up, with a lot of performance.
So you're saying their veracity is in question.
Yeah. And, you know, and they've always wrapped themselves in the flag, and yet they would charge the military for the, you know, on-field ceremonies and things like that. And when you realize that they also get the use of the public airwaves, the networks that own them, there that show them, get the use of the public airwaves for free. They just simply have to be licensed. There's a tremendous amount of public subsidy that goes into football, and they don't tell you about it. The NFL, as far as I'm concerned, as entertaining as it is, as much as I love it, I'm realistic. It's a money-making machine for the owners. If it didn't make them money or it made them look bad.
Bill, I don't think it's the money. You're in business and you're law practice to make money.
Right.
I'd rather hit tennis balls all day long if I'm not going to make some money practicing. Pat's the same way. I mean, anybody in
exactly.
any business. So I wouldn't go to the money issue, but I think to your point that there's such a huge $9 or $10 billion operation. I mean, you're talking monopoly money with these guys. And I think your point is that they're so successful that they should take the high road and be righteous.
Exactly.
When in fact, the track record is one of deception, disingenuous conduct,
exactly.
outright lies. And here, I mean, again, they're calling the Giants disingenuous. And I think John Mara has come out and said that, you know, it wasn't that we were disingenuous, but we're the New York Giants, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. They kind of hang up there as the two old storied franchises that go back, you know, three generations. And they didn't want to jump to conclusions. They wanted a full investigation. They wanted time to evaluate, look at the reports. And then when they finally came down, they did make a move. But the problem was the media to your point, Bill, of sensationalism, jumped on it so fast, it was like, why aren't the Giants cutting this guy?
Well,
and then the Giants did cut him, and then they said, bootstrap argument, well, you only cut him because we exposed you for how slow you were to react. So it's a can't-win situation
well,
there.
Well, there's another point of this, and I think I may have made it before, and it's a balancing act because, number one, it used to be that if a player was suspended, he couldn't, let's say for drugs, he couldn't even go into the locker room. There was no support given at all.
He was hung
wrong.
Up. You get no practicing. You're gone.
The
you're out
other
of here.
Thing on the domestic violence, it's a real problem because what you don't want to have happen is, and I'll say women not reporting because they know if their boyfriend or husband gets cut,
they don't
there
eat.
Goes,
no money.
They don't there eat. Goes all of the money.
That's right, of course.
So there has to be a better way of handling
that is,
it.
Pat, hasn't